Log Talk Radio.
Got a lot for you today. Trump campaign is kind of dropping hints as to how they're going to run against Hillary in a general election. And be afraid. Oh, you should be afraid. When I was going over that article the entire time, I was progressively getting more and more like, oh no. Oh no. Oh, no. By the end, I was full slow motioning, oh, knowing. We also have Hillary Clinton was recently attacking Bernie Sanders for not sufficiently raising funds for other Democrats. Turns out even that attack from her was bullshit. Now, let's assume for a second that we're true. Like, oh, Hillary's raising a lot of money for other Democrats and Bernie isn't. I'm still not impressed. Because Hillary is raising money for other Democrats that are sellout Democrats like herself. They're center-right Democrats, so I got no interest in those Democrats. But she's actually not even doing that. She's amazing. She can't help herself. She's a serial liar. She just cannot stop. Can't stop, won't stop. Some potential VP picks for Hillary. I want to talk a little bit about that. Got into some Twitter fights yesterday over that. Glenn Beck is still stumping for Ted Cruz and somehow making less and less sense with each passing day. So I have a lot to say about that. And, oh no, North Korea's in the news again. Oh, stop it. It depresses me that North Korea is a thing, that we have such an oppressive, brutal government over there keeping down their people. But anyway, let's go ahead and get started here. We got that and much more to get to. And, as we've been doing almost on a daily basis now, I guess I'm going to start with Donald Trump and what's going on with him. The Trump campaign signaled a potential strategy that they're going to use moving forward. And if they go down this road, it's bad news for Hillary Clinton. Now, there are other things that Trump has done that show that he could actually totally blow this election, and what the polls are showing right now in terms of how far down he is, that might actually hold true. And it might be the case that Hillary Clinton wins in a landslide. That's certainly possible. I mean, if he keeps going out there and he keeps using personal attacks, that's really not going to work out very well. If he goes out there and he tries to position himself significantly to the right of Hillary, that's not going to work either, and he will come across as the buffoon that he is. But the Hill is reporting this today, and this is really important. They say, Trump criticized Hillary Clinton's judgment on Monday, foreshadowing an attack line that he could use in a general election showdown. Trump argued that while suggesting Clinton isn't qualified to be president is a big stretch, it's fair to say the former Secretary of State, quote, suffers from bad judgment. He said, emails, bad judgment. Iraq, voted yes, bad judgment. Libya, bad judgment. All bad judgment. Crooked Hillary, bad judgment. So, other people have pointed out, and I think they're wrong in this, but they say, well, that's such a stupid thing. It's not clever. I don't even understand why he goes with nicknames like that when he called Ted Cruz Lion Ted, and now he's calling Hillary Crooked Hillary. And I have to say, man, I totally disagree. I disagree in the same way that I disagreed with people when they said that it was just something that's funny and ridiculous when it was revealed that an analysis proved that Trump speaks at a third grade level. Everybody else was like, oh, that shows he's just a moron of all morons. But I said, wait a second, in politics that could actually be a plus, because there's a lot of people out there who are simple. And if you speak in a way where you can come across as strong, you can come across as passionate, very alpha in your presentation, but you're using dumbed-down words and punchy sentences that get right to the point, guess what? That's going to click with people. They're gonna hear you and listen to what you're fucking saying. Whereas you take somebody like John Kasich, who's super boring, he's not confident at all, and he's speaking in more complex sentences. People, they just, you know, they're fucking staring at a fly on the wall or some shit. They lose it. So that's an example of something that's a benefit for him, even though a lot of people were mocking him for it. Well, it's the same thing. You say Hillary, crooked Hillary, bad judgment. He's gonna say it so much to the point where that's what people are gonna fucking call Hillary, and it's just gonna become a duh. So, you know, you could talk to moderate voters, independent voters, certainly Republicans, and as much as they say now, like, oh, yeah, we don't like Trump, eventually they'll be calling Hillary Clinton Crooked Hillary, and people will say, well, of course she's crooked. That's her name, Crooked Hillary. And if he keeps saying bad judgment, bad judgment, bad judgment, bad judgment, yeah, that's going to fucking stick. And here's the most important part. Trump even goes on to say that, you know, he's been watching the back and forth between Bernie Sanders and Hillary. And when Bernie makes good points, he's like, I'm going to use that. That's bad news. Because here's the dirty little secret about every single attack that Bernie Sanders has done against Hillary Clinton. He's right. Everything he said has been totally accurate. Everything he said has been policy-based. And if Trump is savvy enough, and it appears he is, to look at the attacks from Bernie and go, oh, I hope you're writing this down because we're going to say the exact same thing in the general. Guys, that really, really, really can work. And understand something. Like, idiots in Hillary's campaign are trying to blame Bernie for this. No. Blame your candidate. If your candidate does X, Y, and Z, and then Bernie Sanders comes along and says, hey, you did X, Y, and Z. That's fucked up. You can't blame the guy for pointing out that she did X, Y, and Z. You should blame her for doing X, Y, and Z, namely the, you know, the vote for Iraq, the vote for the Patriot Act, like Trump pointed out here, the intervention in Libya, being in favor of NAFTA, being in favor of the TPP. You go down the list, man. Just all horrible stuff. So you can't get mad at people for pointing out the truth. Truth is always a solid defense. So when Bernie says, what do you mean? I'm just pointing out what's accurate and what's right. He's right to say that. If Trump makes the same arguments and he says, why would the fuck would you get mad at me? I'm pointing out what's correct. He would be right, too. And I swear to you guys, as I've said from the beginning, we hold truth above all else. So if we're in a general election and it's Trump versus Hillary and Trump keeps hammering Hillary and he's right in the attacks against Hillary, I'm not going to come out here and say, oh, Hillary Clinton is right when she's not. We care about facts. We care about evidence. We care about data. So if he's making the better arguments, I'm going to tell you he's making the better arguments. And I can't say I'm going to put party loyalty above reality because that's the antithesis of everything we're supposed to be about. So, man, it can get ugly out there. And if Trump goes this direction, look out. Now, again, understand that there's a possibility he doesn't, and there's a possibility he can't help himself, and all he does is the vicious, stupid personal attacks that will hurt him more in the polls. So the election could go either way, but here's actually what I'm convinced of. If, you know, indeed it is Trump versus Hillary, you're going to have one of the lowest turnouts of any election in modern times because you have Hillary Clinton who really does not have the heart of the base, and she doesn't have independence. So right there you have a massive low voter turnout. Now, Trump loses a lot of the traditional establishment Republicans, but he gains new voters on the Republican side who've never voted, but they're usually old white men, and they're super racist, and they're nationalists, effectively, or nativists, people have called them, and they'll vote. So actually, on the Republican side, you might have a new kind of turnout, but the numbers stay relatively the same, whereas on the Democratic side, you'll have fewer people in the base voting and fewer independents voting. So overall, it'd be a low turnout election, and as we pointed out before, historically, low turnout elections favor who? Republicans. So a bunch of red flags going forward here, and I hope you're cringing, because I certainly am. Okay. All right, now, we're going to go to Hillary Clinton and how she was recently attacking Bernie for some bullshit. So, you know how Hillary Clinton was recently attacking Bernie Sanders for not sufficiently raising funds for other Democrats? Well, it turns out that she was lying. Even about that, she was lying. Now, understand, at the time, I said, even if that is true, I don't give a shit. Because let's assume Hillary indeed was raising a bunch of money for other Democrats. The other Democrats she would be raising money for are also corporatist, pro-establishment, center-right Democrats. I don't want those Democrats to get elected. I want actual liberals and progressives to get elected. So even if it were true that she was raising money for Democrats, she would be raising what kind of money? Wall Street money. So these Democrats are going to get Wall Street money, so obviously they're going to do their bidding. So I don't care about those Democrats. But that's not even the case. She can't help herself. She lies even when there's not much of a benefit. So according to a new Politico report, quote, the Hillary Victory Fund has kept 99% of approximately $60 million it was supposedly raising for state Democratic parties. Under the agreement signed by Democratic Party leaders in 33 states, the Hillary Victory Fund would solicit donations from super wealthy donors for as much as $353,400. The deal agreed to by state parties in the Clinton campaign allows for the first $2,700 raised by the Victory Fund to go to Hillary Clinton's campaign. The next $33,400 is earmarked for the DNC, and the remaining funds are meant for state Democratic parties. Under this agreement, it was assumed that the DNC would spend that money helping each respective state party win down-ballot elections. However, after the original distribution, the Clinton campaign is the sole decider of what happens to the rest of the cash. As such, state party organizations in solidly blue states that don't have competitive U.S. Senate elections this year are getting zero financial benefit from the agreement. Guys, it was all a fucking trick. So there are other articles that have explained about this. Basically what happens is they claim, oh yeah, we're raising money not just for us but for other Democrats, bro. So they raise the money. A lot of it up front goes to them. They give others back to the DNC or back to the state parties, and then they give it right back to Hillary. Why? That's not even a lie that really benefits you. Like, the whole point of her saying that we're raising money for other Democrats, so vote for us, is kind of her way of trying to rally, you know, get the Democratic base to rally behind her and rile up the Democratic base and say, yeah, look, I'm the one who really cares about being liberal because I'm helping all the other Democrats. Bernie's not helping them. Now, again, I don't think people in the Democratic base are going to fall for that because it's not that hard to connect the dots. Oh, you're raising money mostly from Wall Street and big money donors and corporations. You're going to give that to other Democrats. They're going to do the bidding of the corporations. So why would I cheer that? So it wasn't even a good lie to begin with. But now we learned it indeed was a lie. You're not even doing that. You're taking all the corporate cash and giving it to yourself. She can't help herself. She is a serial liar. You know, it's funny. Like we were just talking about in the last segment, Donald Trump came up with Lying Ted for Ted Cruz and Crooked Hillary for Hillary Clinton. I mean, you should go with Lying Hillary or Lying Crooked Hillary or what. It's got to throw a liar in there, too. This is unbelievable. Why would you do it? There's not even a reason to lie like this. So yet again, we find out every single argument she's used against Bernie Sanders has been a hacky bullshit argument. From the Bernie Bros argument, which is utter nonsense, to her surrogate saying that Bernie Sanders wants, unicorns and rainbows for everybody or puppies for everybody. Right, you have a Democratic candidate arguing against things like universal health care, universal education, and all the things that Bernie stands for and the base of the Democratic Party stands for. Like, you think that's a good argument that it's going to make us go, yeah, let's go to her side. She doesn't even want to fight for the things that are our policy ideas and our goals. And then now you use a stupid argument like this. I'm raising money for other Democrats. Well, if you were, you'd be having them sell out along with you, so we don't care. But you're not even doing that, so you're just a liar. I said it before, I'll say it again. Hillary Clinton is quite literally one of the worst Democrats that I could imagine getting the nomination on the Democratic side. I was tweeting about it the other day. I said, I'm hearing crickets right now as I'm trying to think of Democrats that are worse than her, as Democrats that are more right-wing on the spectrum. Now, it turns out there are a few examples. You know, there's plenty of blue dog Democrats who are to the right of her. There were some other examples that people gave, like Evan Bayh, Joe Manchin, I think. So there are a few, don't get me wrong. But you can definitely count them, if not on one hand, on two hands. So we have one of the worst Democratic candidates imaginable. And she, in her infinite pomposity, thinks and has said to Bernie voters, where are you going to go in the general? Like when Rachel Maddow asked her, so what are you going to do to try to earn Bernie supporters' votes? She's like, what do you mean I have more votes than him? That was her answer. I have more votes. Rachel, I have more votes. Yeah, but that wasn't the question. The question was, what are you going to do to get them on your side? And then when people bring up to her specifically, well, what if he says, hey, here's some policy positions and you need to help fight for these? Or, hey, here's a VP pick. If you put this person or somebody like this person on the ticket, then I'll endorse you. She's like, I'm not going to make a deal with him. He lost. I won. Get over it. Yeah, great way to try to win over Bernie voters is to tell them to suck it up and say that you got more votes and not try to do anything progressive. Man, this campaign is a disaster, and somehow she's winning. Okay. All right, now let's continue. Oh, potential VP candidates for Hillary Clinton. Here we go. Let's have this conversation. So let's talk a little bit about potential VP candidates for Hillary Clinton. This has been in the news lately and on the minds of a lot of people because when the idea of picking somebody progressive as a concession to Bernie Sanders came up, Hillary basically said, fuck off. And she shrugged it off and was like, I'm not going to do that. So who are the candidates that would be genuinely progressive? Well, I'm going to get into that here up front. And then also there are two other categories of potential VPs that I want to talk about. So the first one here would be genuinely progressive picks that, in all seriousness, would make it so that you would get more of the base voters, you would potentially get more of the Bernie supporters, and you would actually make it so that there's a thought as to whether or not certain people should vote for you, people who are actually in the Bernie or Bust movement. Look, I've said it myself. I'm in New York, which is a deep blue state, so I don't have to vote for Hillary Clinton, so I'm not going to vote for Hillary Clinton. The state's going to go to Hillary Clinton anyway, so I will vote for Jill Stein, or maybe I'll write in Bernie Sanders' name. And I think anybody in a deep red state or a deep blue state can do that. Now, if you're in a swing state, it sucks, and if I was in a swing state, I would probably suck it up and pick Hillary because she is the lesser of two evils. But there are certain things she could do that would make even me go, maybe I should hold my nose and go vote for her also. So, what would those things include? Well, if she picked somebody like Elizabeth Warren for VP, or if she picked Ohio Senator Sherrod Brown, or, as has been floated, Bernie Sanders. Now, again, these picks are not likely at all. Okay, in fact, they're highly unlikely. But if she were to do that, she would get more progressives to vote for her, and I think that's actually somewhat logical. Now, the counter-argument is people say, to fucking VPs, like, super symbolic, you know, that's not going to do anything. What she's trying to do is co-opt progressive votes and then continue to do her shitty agenda. And my response to that is, maybe that's absolutely true, or you're making it so that there actually is a progressive voice in the room when Hillary Clinton is doing the things that we all fear she wants to do, like, for example, escalate in Syria, like, for example, doing more deregulation. So my counterargument would be, wouldn't you want that voice in the room when Hillary Clinton is floating these ideas, these horrible center-right, if not outright right-wing ideas? When they're saying that, don't you want somebody like Elizabeth Warren to say, whoa, 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 okay, stop, let's think about this a little bit. Now, again, maybe she doesn't convince her. In fact, that's probably likely that she doesn't convince her. But wouldn't you rather have a chance that somebody makes a good counterargument and that she changes her mind? Wouldn't you rather that be an option? See, I don't view it as, like, there are some people who are, I think, faux progressive purists who are saying, like, no, you, like, arguing for not having a progressive VP pick. There's no conceivable argument I could think of that's convincing that would lead me to say, yes, pick somebody less progressive. Because you would at least want the chance. You would at least want you know, the slight possibility that somebody progressive can change her mind. So no, taking a shitty Hillary Clinton presidency and keeping it as shitty or making it more shitty with the VP pick indeed is more shitty or just as shitty. Wouldn't you want to make it slightly less shitty by having some kind of progressive in there with her? If you say no to that, I think you're just being a silly person. Now, you can disagree as to which progressive it is, because people have made the counter-argument, and I think this is totally valid. People say, hey, well, Elizabeth Warren, she actually perhaps has more power in the Senate than she would as VP. And if she were to be VP, well, then you'd have the governor of Massachusetts, who's a Republican, pick her replacement, and that means we'll have another Republican in the Senate. Those are all totally valid counter-arguments. But it is not a valid counter-argument to say she should pick somebody just as conservative and right-wing as her. No, that would mean you're solidifying that the decisions she's making are going to be right-wing, whereas if you had some kind of a progressive in there, maybe your chance of getting right-wing policies drop from 100% to 90%. But guess what? That means there's a 10% chance it's not going to be conservative that it wasn't before. So there's no argument that, oh, I want her to not pick a progressive, that's stupid. But there is an argument as to which progressive you would want. Now, if Elizabeth Warren is the pick, I would consider voting for Hillary. If Sherrod Brown is the pick, true progressive, I would consider voting for Hillary. If Bernie Sanders is the pick, I would consider voting for Hillary. Now, again, I don't think these are likely. I don't even think Bernie Sanders would agree to something like that. So, you know, there's a lot of things up in the air here, but that's the first set of potential picks that would be the best case scenario for actual liberals and actual progressives. All right, next. Who would be picks that are just like her? So, namely, pseudo-progressive, center-right, pro-establishment, pro-corporate sellouts. Those kinds of Democrats. Who do we have? Okay. Julian Castro is the first one. He's the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. He's endorsed Hillary going way back, which means he actively picked Hillary Clinton over Bernie Sanders when he had a choice of Bernie Sanders. So he's nothing but a narcissist who's trying to get ahead in his career, and he is a sellout, and he is willing to do the bidding of the establishment and corporations. I would despise that choice. And probably the part about it I despise the most is the identity politics angle of it, where the only reason, oh, please do not make the mistake of thinking Hillary Clinton is genuinely principled and cares about stuff like this. The only reason she would pick somebody like Castro is because she's trying to get the Hispanic vote out in large numbers. Okay? If you think any differently, you're so naive to politics, I don't know what to tell you. So I would despise that pick with a burning passion, because what they'll try to do, and all the mainstream media will fall for it hook, line, and sinker, is she'll argue, see, I picked a Democrat. He's a progressive, too. He's the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. What do you mean? That's so progressive. He's so progressive. No, he's not, Hillary. He's about as progressive as you are when you say in the debates against Bernie, I'm go harder on Wall Street. No, you don't. No, you don't. Hate that pick if she goes in that direction. And it's certainly more likely she goes in that direction than any of the other people I just named. Sherrod Brown, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders. Okay. And the other one that falls in this category, I think I'd hate this pick even more than Julian Castro. Cory Booker. I get nauseous just hearing the name Cory Booker. Cory Booker is quintessential sellout, pro-corporate, pro-establishment Democrat. I think there might be an argument he's even worse than Hillary. You know, he has a laundry list of policy positions that, you know, bear this out, but he's a guy who uses, even more so than Obama or Hillary, he uses the let's all hold hands and come together rhetoric. He outwardly says we should be more centrist, we should be more moderate. The two extremes are too extreme. Nonsense in the context of U.S. politics. Our spectrum is so far to the right that when Cory Booker argues we need to be in the center of that super far right-wing spectrum, he's saying let's just be right-wing. Let's just cave more to the Republicans. It would be a disastrous pick, a horrible pick, a pseudo-progressive pick, and you're not fucking fooling anybody who's a Bernie voter when you pick somebody like that. They're going to go, that smells like bullshit, because it is. All right, so these are the pseudo-progressive picks where she'll pretend like it's a progressive, but it's not, but they're more like her. Then we have the picks that are even worse than those. Just the beyond epic disaster picks from the right. Okay? Now, to answer this and give you the candidates, I want to go to an article from The Hill here. They say, Representative Bill Pascrell, a Democrat of New Jersey, a Clinton backer, offered another set of criteria he hopes will guide the search. Pascrell said the Democrats should be eyeing a more moderate figure, perhaps even a Republican, who can build bridges in regions where support for Democrats has eroded, and in an environment when anti-establishment candidates such as Carson and Donald Trump have been wildly successful. Carson successful my ass. Pascrell said someone new to politics would do just fine. I'm looking at somebody from either the South or the Midwest that has a good, strong military background and need not have run for office before, Pascrell said. He floated several names that would fit the mold, including, get this, former Senator Jim Webb, the Democrat of Virginia who recently dropped out of the presidential contest. For those of you who don't know, that's the guy who shot a guy. That's the guy who was super awkward in the Democratic debates and seemed like he belonged in 1962. He continues, former Secretary of State Colin Powell, ooh, a Republican, and Vilsack, a Democrat, the former Iowa governor who now heads the USDA. He also goes on to mention Governor Terry McAuliffe of Virginia because he wants to win Virginia. It's a battleground state, and Terry McAuliffe is such a right-wing Democrat that he was running against, the candidate he was running against is a guy who literally fought to keep blowjobs illegal. That's how high the bar is for Virginia Democrats. Like, oh, I'm a Democrat, and I want blowjobs to continue to be legal. Vote for me. And then you could turn around and do the bidding of all your donors, and because you're more sane than the other fucking people, you get to be as right-wing as you want. Okay, if Hillary goes with these picks, I might go full Bernie or bust. Because these picks would be such a slap in the face to the American people and to Democrats. And also, it would show a complete and utter misunderstanding of politics, too. Like, there's another angle to this, which is the Democratic strategists have been saying for decades now, no, in a general election, Democratic candidates need to run to the right. That's the wisdom. The wisdom is, oh, okay, in a primary you run to the left, but in a general you run to the right if you're a Democrat, vice versa in the Republican Party. But they say you need to do that in order to get independent voters. Because they say independents are more moderate, they're more centrist. You got to run to the center to get those voters. You already have your base locked up. That's the way they think. Now, you're lying if you do those flip-flops. That's point number one. And point number two is Bernie has proved that independent voters going for the more progressive candidate. He gets independents way more than Hillary Clinton. He gets like 70 to 80% of independents. So he has proved that to get independence, you go more to the left and you fight for his policy positions. But in their infinite stupidity, these jackasses can't break free of their theories, which are not true. So they're just like, I don't know, pick a moderate right-wing candidate because that'll help you win the election. No, it'll make you lose the election even worse than you are because you're losing the base. You've already almost lost the base, and now you're going to lose independence too by picking somebody right-wing. When that's not what you're supposed to represent, you're supposed to be the Democratic nominee. She doesn't get it. They don't get it. They're ridiculous human beings. They don't even understand politics, and they've been in politics their entire life. All you have to do is look at the numbers. Look at the numbers. Trump is getting independence. Bernie's getting independence. These are the outsider candidates. And what do they say? Pick an insider. Pick an insider. Pick a center-right insider because that'll get us more votes. It's been proven the opposite is true. So these are some potential VP picks for Hillary. What's most likely, I would say, is she picks from that middle category I gave you, the Democrats who are faux progressives, center-right, pro-establishment, pro-corporate. She'll likely pick from that group and then pretend like she picked a progressive and make the argument like this person's progressive, and the media will fall right into it, CNN, MSNBC. They'll play right along with her. And then, of course, the Bernie voters aren't going to buy it. The Democratic base vote is going to be suppressed. Independents are not going to vote for Hillary. And you'll have a very close election and super low turnout. But generally speaking, this is where we're at right now. Now, there are other candidates I'm sure that they're vetting. But either way, when she makes her pick, I'll come out here and I'll give you all the facts as to whether or not this person is an actual progressive. And I would argue that chances are she's not going to pick a liberal, not going to pick a progressive. Okay, I got to take a break. When we come back, Reuters has some hilarious news about how extreme the GOP now is, and A writer for Mediaite gets everything dead wrong about the media in one article. It's an article about CNN, and, man, I might go off on that, so don't miss it. Stay right there, guys. We'll be right back. Son of a bitch. All right, guys, we're back. Let's talk a little bit about just how stupid this Republican Party has become.
Reuters has some hilarious news that really highlights how extreme the GOP has become. They say the Republican Study Committee, which counts over two-thirds of the House of Representatives Republicans as its members, called recently for, and I quote, the complete elimination of the IRS. All right, now for those of you who don't know the history of this, eliminating the IRS is this far right-wing fringe idea that probably originated on talk radio. It's nothing but a silly talking point. And now we've gotten to the point that two-thirds of House Republicans, part of the Republican Study Committee, they've officially recommended that we should have the complete elimination of the IRS. Okay, let's count the multitude of ways in which this makes no sense. What are you going to replace it with? Like, okay, let's live in your fantasy land. Let's say we eliminate it. Then what? You do know that as long as we have taxes, and we're always going to have taxes because we're a country, civilized government, it's going to have to go somewhere, and it's going to have to be collected by someone in the government. You can call it whatever the fuck you want to call it. You can call it the IRS. You can call it the IRQ. You can call it Monkey Farts R Us. It doesn't matter what the fuck you call it. It's going to exist. But they're so silly that they're just like, I get a complete elimination of it. And then just eliminate it. And then I want complete elimination. What does that mean? What are you going to do after you eliminate it? And then when they don't give any details, they don't give any specifics, but they go on to say it'll be replaced with a smaller thing that does the same thing that they do. You know what it is? They're drunk on the Kool-Aid of right-wing talk radio. And the spectrum genuinely has shifted so far to the right over the years. From Reagan onward, it's just been a slow creep to the right. And we're at the point now where the far right is fucking bordering on fascism, and the center is no longer the center. The center is what used to be called moderate Republicans. Or that's not even true. The Democratic Party is what used to be called moderate Republicans. Most Democrats, like Hillary Clinton, that's nowhere near FDR's Democratic Party. No resemblance to it whatsoever. This is a moderate Republican, what used to be called a moderate Republican. And this is where we're at. That now in official policy papers from the Republican Study Committee, they're just giving what used to be vacuous, vapid, obviously stupid right-wing talking points. The complete elimination of the IRS. And replace it with what? I don't know. So if you really could do that, well then, either you'd have to replace it with something that functions exactly like the IRS, so why not just keep it and call it the IRS, or you just have to eliminate all taxes. And you eliminate all taxes, and we no longer have a civilized country. We no longer, you know, are able to run the government in any way, shape, or form. There's no more infrastructure spending, no more basic government functions, fire department, police department, all this stuff, you name it. Now, obviously, that's at a more local level and a state level in many cases, and I don't know their position on those kinds of taxes, but I guess they're against those too. But everything important that the federal government does, like these jackasses also say they love the military. Well, if you eliminate the IRS and then you get rid of taxes, which is the only way to really get rid of the IRS, well, then how the fuck do you fund your gigantic bloated military that has 900 military bases around the world? Yet again, they got nothing for you. So we now have a majority of House Republicans, a majority of them. They don't have any sense. There's no logic. There's no reason. They don't care. It's just, I will use my talking points. It doesn't matter that they're totally vapid and have no logic to them whatsoever. I'm going to use them, and then I want you to take me seriously and pretend like I'm a part of this discussion in a real way. No, you're not. You're the idiots that show up on the short bus, and the Democrats, who are also no prize, are the only ones that are holding this goddamn thing together, and even they have 8,000 problems that I have issues with. What a sad state of affairs in modern American politics. now let's go to this article about the media where I can rage out. Oh, my God, I find – guys, this is so funny. No, you really don't have any idea how funny this is. Wait until I tell you about it, and then wait until you see how much they've misstated everything here. So Mediaite has an article by a writer named J.D. Durkin, and it's about CNN. And it's one of the most hilariously confused articles I've ever read. This person apparently has no clue how the media functions. So, here's what he says. The president of CNN is seeing the advantage of presenting its content down the middle of the aisle as opposed to inadvertently favoring one side. In a Wall Street Journal piece investigating the sweeping ratings bonanza that CNN has had in the 2016 election cycle, Jeff Zucker admitted that perhaps in the past, his network has ostracized some viewers with its coverage. He said, quote, "I think it was a legitimate criticism of CNN that it was a little too liberal," Zucker said. "We have added many more middle-of-the-road conservative voices to an already strong stable of liberal voices, and I think that we are a much more balanced network, and as a result, a much more inviting network to a segment of the audience that might not have otherwise been willing to come here." Oh, my goodness. Okay, I have so much to say about this. I don't even know where to begin. First of all, this ratings bonanza that they're talking about, total smoke and mirrors. What are you talking about, a ratings bonanza? They go, oh, well, their ratings are up, you know, like 50% from what they were last year. Yeah, you want to know why? The fucking election. How do you not know that? So, look, understand, guys, I'm in this business, okay? I'm in the news, political commentary business, whatever you want to call it. Now, we're obviously on YouTube, which is different, and they're, you know, an actual mainstream channel here. But I can guarantee you that everybody who covers politics in any way, shape, or form has gotten a gigantic bump in their ratings because that's what happens around election cycles. It's literally built into the business models, whether it's myself or TYT or David Pakman or any of us. We know that anytime there's an election, specifically a presidential election, and especially with a circus like we have right now where we have like a genuinely good dude who's saying all the right things, Bernie Sanders, versus an oligarch like Hillary Clinton versus a fucking clown like Donald Trump, that is set up perfectly for insane ratings. So when they say, hey, we got a bump in the ratings, so did everybody else. It's got nothing to do with your business model, but they're so stupid that they think, like, no, yeah, it has nothing to do with the election. It's because we're doing a good job. That's what it is. It's because we're so good at what we do. Are you serious? You got fucking 27 hours of Wolf Blitzer in the middle of the day. You think that's entertaining? For fuck's sake, in the White House Correspondents' Dinner the other night, Larry Wilmore was joking about that specifically. He was mocking Wolf Blitzer endlessly. He did a drone joke about Obama that immediately pivoted to, speaking of drones, Wolf Blitzer's in the house. Hey, dude, ask a follow-up question. Hey, here's who's winning, whoever's not watching the Situation Room. They're so disconnected from reality that they look at these numbers from the election and they think, no, this is because we're doing a good job. Now, recently, what did CNN do? They decided we're going to be more CNN-esque. Now you say, well, how the fuck is that possible? See, in their backwards minds, they thought that what they had beforehand, a year ago, 2 years ago, they thought that was super liberal. So they go, we got to run further to the right, and in the process say we're becoming more centrist. So now it is nothing but the neutrality bias all day long, and if anything, it leans right with the neutrality bias. And they think, like, no, that's it. We got the business model that's going to work in the long run. Oh, my God, I can't wait to see what happens when their bubble bursts. As, by the way, all of our bubbles are going to burst. So all this gigantic growth that Secular Talk is seeing, that all the other news shows are seeing, it all is going to level out because when the election's over, that's just what happens. But, see, we know that. They don't because they're stupid. But I'd love to see the look on their face, Jeff Zucker, when he sees the numbers come in after the election. And CNN, I'm going to make a prediction right now. They are either going to go right back down to the same shitty numbers they had before, or it'll be worse. That's what's going to happen. And they're going to be like, it's going to be like a fucking freight train hit them. They're going to be like, what? I thought we figured out. You thought you figured it out by moving to the right and becoming more neutral. They don't get it. To this day, they don't fucking get it. I'm spitting all over myself. That's how angry I am. To this day, they don't understand that when you say we're going to call it 50-50, go right down the middle, have a conservative voice and a liberal voice, and they're going to talk about the issues. That's literally the last thing the audience wants to see. Why? It's fake neutrality. It assumes that on every issue there are two valid sides. That is not true. So when you take climate change and then you have fucking Bill Nye the Science Guy versus Marsha Blackburn, a Republican congresswoman, and she's saying it's not real and climate change is a hoax, and Bill Nye's like, am I in the fucking Twilight Zone? Well, see, you are lying to the audience by assuming it's a 50-50 issue. We know it's not. So we look at you and we go, these guys are stupid. When you debate evolution and creationism or evolution and intelligent design, and you say, all right, have at it, you are lying to the audience because you're pretending there's a debate there when there's not. Your job is to fact check. Your job is to say, hey, evolution is true. Creationism is bullshit. It's religious nonsense. They think the world is 6,000 years old and there was a man and a woman and a talking snake in a garden and all types of nonsense. That's your job. Your job is to say, here are the facts. Here's the data. Here's the evidence. Here's the proof. I don't give a shit what your feelings tell you, but this is what the reality is. But they're so afraid. Jeff Zucker's proving it here. They're so afraid of being accused of having a liberal bias that whenever anybody says something true, they have to balance it out with something false from the right, lest they get people saying, liberal bias on CNN, liberal bias on CNN. They said that 2 plus 2 equals 4. They're so liberally biased. And the entire time they listen to these right-wing critics, and the ratings go down, and the ratings go down, and the ratings go down. Now they fully listen to the right-wing critics, and as a result of the election and the election alone, the ratings are going up, and they naively think the critics were right all along. We need more fake neutrality. We need to move further to the right. And these ratings are going to last, let me tell you. No, they're not. No, they're not. Guys, did you know that going back like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, you look at the numbers, Wolf Blitzer versus this show, we were beating them at the time. So if you take secular talk numbers for a full day, because that's the only metric we can get, unfortunately, the way YouTube lays it out. So it's as close to an apples-to-apples comparison as you could possibly get. Secular talk numbers for a full day versus Wolf Blitzer's two-hour block in the middle of the day. We were beating him. You're being beaten by a random YouTube channel with an advertising budget of $0.00. And then now, because of the election, they get a bump in the ratings, and they think, we figured it out! We need more people like Wolf Blitzer! More people to call it 50-50 right down the middle! And I guarantee you, like I said, my prediction is the ratings will either go right back to where they were before or it'll be worse. And the entire time, this idiot Jeff Zucker and the person who wrote this article, no clue that their entire bump was due to the election. It has nothing to do with the kind of coverage they're doing. But now they're utterly convinced the path moving forward is more fake neutrality and more bullshit. There's nothing that's, you know, less fake than that. That's as fake as it gets. And you think the audience isn't going to smell the fakeness from a mile away? You know where they're going to come? Right here, because this is authenticity. Even if you disagree with me, you're going to hear me out. And you might write a long fucking thing in the comment section on YouTube, here's why you're wrong and this and that, but guess what? You're going to come back, and you're going to hear what I have to say, whether you agree or disagree with me. Because you know I'm giving you a real opinion, you know it's thought out, and you know I try my best to base it on all the facts. These guys' facts aren't even in the equation. Give me mindless drones that call it 50-50 no matter what, and I guarantee you I'll get better ratings. No, you won't. You're going to get your ass handed to you, and it's going to be glorious. They're so stupid. How do you not know that the bump in ratings is from the election? How do you not know that? Oh, my God. Like, we have a comparable bump in ratings to them, right? Like, they said, oh, 40%, 50%, whatever it was. Yeah, we're about the same. Everybody's about the same. Why? You cover politics, and there's something big happening in politics right now. But they really believe that's all because they picked a slightly different model, and they moved further to the right, and they did more fake centrism. I can't take it, man. That guy, Jeff Zucker, has no clue what he's doing. He has this job. He must wake up every day and know he's a fraud. He must wake up and go, wow, I can't believe I have this position making a ridiculous amount of money that I didn't earn. Because I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just fucking going out there and hoping I get it right, and I'm listening to all the idiot critics who say, you got to stop with the liberal bias. They're so stupid. Okay, anyway. And look, he said, hey, more people are going to watch us than weren't going to watch us before. You think the people who watch Fox News are now all of a sudden going to switch to CNN because you moved, 3 centimeters further to the right on the spectrum and you're doing more fake neutrality? Oh, by the way, you know what else led to this bump in ratings? You ready for this? The fucking debates that CNN had. The debates, the presidential debates, and they're giving all the credit to the shitty anchors who were the same ones as before. I can't, man. They don't know what they're saying. They don't know what they're doing. It's so sad. Okay. All right, let me get off this before I fucking lose my shit even more. Let me go to this ironic story coming from right-wing bigots here. So I think we have the most ironic news story that we've ever done here for you on Secular Talk. Listen to this brilliant right-wing strategy to go after transgender people. So Huffington Post reports, a director for the American Family Association, which, side note, is classified as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center, says that it's sending men into the women's restrooms at Target stores to test its barriers after the retail giant announced that its facilities will be transgender-friendly. All right, think about this. Stop. Stop what you're doing. Drop whatever it is. Think about this. They argue that, hey, the reason why we don't want trans bathroom rights, we don't want them to pick whichever restroom they want to go in because they're more comfortable in said restroom. The reason we don't want that is we are afraid of people breaking the laws and harassment happening. So that's why we need to stop this, equality for trans people, rights for trans people, and letting them pick which bathroom they go in. We have to stop it because we don't want harassment and we don't want people breaking the laws and making our little girls and our wives feel uncomfortable. Okay. So because they're afraid of harassment in bathrooms, they're sending people to do harassment in bathrooms. How do you not see the irony in that? You know, we're so outraged, these trans people, and I'm telling you, it's going to be rampant, all the abuse and the harassment and our wives feeling uncomfortable and people feeling uncomfortable in the bathrooms. So to combat this, we're going to send men into women's bathrooms and have them harass them. What the fuck is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? By the way, there's been like 2 or 3 different articles in this past week where there's actual video of, in one case, there's, keeping it real here, this woman who's a lesbian, and she looks kind of masculine, but she's a lesbian, and she goes into the bathroom, and a dude follows her in there. He's like, what are you doing? What do you mean, what am I doing? I'm going to the bathroom. Yeah, but what's going on? Like, what do you mean, what's going on? He was trying to say, like, I think you're a man dressed as a woman, and you're going in there to commit a crime or something, so now I will follow you in there and henceforth harass you and potentially commit a crime. Now, again, it wasn't a man dressed as a woman. It wasn't a trans woman. We're talking about a lesbian who just looked kind of masculine. That's it. But now the dude's like, all right, let me see the plumbing. Come on, what you got down there? See, that's the harassment! That's the harassment! The shit that the right-wingers are trying to do is exactly what they say they fear. It's unbelievable, man. It's unbelievable. And how would you enforce this writ large? Think about it, man. How would you enforce this? Well, you'd have to say to anybody who you think is suspicious, all right, let's see what you got. You got a dick and balls? Or you got a vag down there? What's going on here? Pull down them pants. Let's see. You're guilty of what you're accusing others of being guilty of. No, here's how normal people react to the idea that trans people are going to pick their bathroom. Okay, fuck do I care? I said it before, I'll say it again. As a general rule, I don't care what bathroom you shit in, what bathroom you piss in. By all means, pick whatever you want. It's got nothing to do with me. And honestly, I'm amazed that people, like, this is such an issue that people don't realize that throughout your life you've gone into, like, gender-neutral bathrooms. Like, there are bathrooms that are for men and women. They exist. But people are acting now like, no, it's got to be men and women, and then the trans people get to pick the one they want to go into, and then, like, whatever, I don't care. Why are we all a nation of fucking children who are like, what pee-pee parts do you have? I don't give a fuck what pee-pee parts you have. I don't care about your pee-pee parts. So I don't know why, and think about it, man. Like, the American Family Association and other right-wing hate groups, like, ever since Target, all they said was, hey, we're going to let trans people go in the bathroom of their choice. It's been, they've been trying to do a boycott, but the least ineffectual boycott ever. I bet Target sales go up after this. But and they have Facebook groups about it and stuff. And, like, this is what you fucking care about? This is what you think about? Who's shitting where? Like, really?
We're doing it because we care about morality, you stupid lib.
Except if you care about morality, where's your Facebook page about how the Iraq war was fucked up and we killed minimum 200,000 civilians and we wasted trillions of dollars and we occupied a country when that country didn't attack us? Where's your Facebook page on that? Where's your Facebook page on getting a single-payer Medicare for All system because we have 45,000 people that die in this country every year because they don't have access to basic health care? Where's your page about that? Where's your page about making the minimum wage a living wage? You care about morality. You care about the downtrodden. Okay, so where's your page on that? You don't have it. Why? Because you don't care about any of that stuff. All you care about is, a lot of it, face it, is from weird sexual repression. That's why many anti-gay people turn out to be really gay. So this is the same kind of thing. Oh, my God, I'm so good. Bathroom, ooh, trash people. God, keep them out of my bathroom because I'm so uncomfortable because they're so hot. What? What? Did I say that out loud? Okay. We're done here. Let's take a break. When we come back, Glenn Beck is still stumping for Ted Cruz. Oh, boy. And then Old Navy, there was some backlash at Old Navy for an ad they placed. Wait until you see why that is. The year is 2016. You will be depressed as to the reason. Stay right there.
You know when you're doing a song about it?
That's right, Lambert sniffing soap today.
You get started with a cliche, you know what I'm saying?
Like, time moves a little slower here. The pain fills because the summer's here exclusive air. And we're nowhere near, nowhere you would know. Look, it's here bright. Show up just to show off. I'm in, take a load off. Just to watch the day go by. Philosophizing with the friends like they play so. They prophesied some. By the main road, right? They got a fire, some like, hey, with your face, oh God. But what a banger. Fox News got them, let the shots kiss. Fundamentalist, the new communism. Oh, girl, with the shoppingness, clutch a handbag close. I'm like, damn, man, damn, it's all back has jokes. Cause I'm a gentleman, the Vanagon, most of us are. First name basis in the bank, the post office, the bar, the grocery, the pirates, the lady, I ain't trying to grab your pension. The old men on the bench.
Direct from the transistor radio in your lounge room. It's the entertainment that the whole family can enjoy.
Well, I say, looking slick will do the trick, so try Barry's Brew Crew.
Well, let's
today.
Go. A little slower here. Yeah. Day feels like a week, it feels like it could go a year. And we're nowhere near nothing, man, it's so true. I don't tell them where I'm from, I tell them where I'm close to. And I can go through a night, let's show you on a map. But you still look at me sideways and treat me like I'm backwards. But that's just fine, it so happens. So I'm happy living in the city that is trapped in time. While you're lined up in traffic, I'm not panicked. I'm trans and I'm back in time for a TV dinner and an early night. Cause we get dressed to travel, got an early flight. Been doing laps of the earth, we're doing laps of the sun. Trying to put where I'm at on a map, cause where I'm from, we never get a mention. The old out and then some. Once again, the old men on the bench.
And across the country, they came in waves. Thousands upon thousands of flying discs descending from the planet Mars.
For the closest shave, try a Wilson's razor today.
Well, let's
today.
Go. Let's go.
Where we go, it's going to be hard. No matter where I go,
All right, we're back, and we're going to talk a little bit about Glenn Beck here and what he's got going on. So Glenn Beck is still stumping for Ted Cruz. Apparently he didn't get the word that Ted is mathematically eliminated from winning the vote outright. The only way he can win is through a contested convention. But Glenn went on another really, really creepy God rant here. Let's watch. Ending was perfect. No, you didn't just say that. Did you say that? Oh, he said that. He goes on the whole thing of God and the Almighty and Ted Cruz is the chosen one. All about Jesus. We got to make a logical choice. It's got to be based on logic. Wait, that contradicts everything you said before it. You're talking about God and the Almighty. You literally said Ted and I got down on our knees and prayed. Maybe they did other stuff while they were on their knees. I'm not judging. I'm just saying that you talk all about religion and then logic. We got to use logic. If you were using logic, you'd be voting for Bernie Sanders. God, unbelievable, man. I can't believe it. This is still a thing in 2016. And honestly, I think this is like this ideology and this kind of person and candidate in its last throes, to be honest. Because it just doesn't fly anymore, man. Like in 1955... the country probably would have fallen in love with Ted Cruz, or maybe even a little before that, 1950, thereabouts. Because they look, he's so moral because he's so religious. You know, he loves God, and he says God picked him, so, you know, the way he talks is so scripted that it's great. Nowadays, people look at that like, what the fuck are you doing? What are you saying? Why are you talking to me in that fake way? I don't understand. Why are you pretending? Could you imagine Ted Cruz spoke the way he spoke just in normal situations with his, like, family 5 years ago, 10 years ago, just in the living room, like his mom's visiting? And, you know, Mom, let me tell you about the fiscal responsibility of the government. Me. She'd be like, why are you pointing at me like that, and why are you speaking in that voice? I don't – like, what are you doing? That does. In fact, there was that great video where for one of the ad shoots, Ted Cruz had his family on the set because they were part of the ad, and he says something like, you know, my mom prayed for me for hours a day or something to that effect. And his mom, even his mom's like, the fuck? who does it? Nobody does that. What are you saying? But he's so fake he can't help himself. And look, Glenn Beck may be stupid enough to have genuinely fallen for it. Like, there was an interview where Ted Cruz's dad said to some Christian host that it was an angel who came down to Ted and told Ted, you need to run because you need to be president. So Ted Cruz's dad and Ted Cruz himself, they think it's like prophecy. No, they really believe that, like, God picked him and he needs to lead. How stupid, how insane do you have to be to believe that? And look at the arrogance. Bill Maher has a great line about this. He says that fundamentalist religion is basically arrogance parading as humility. Like, they're pretending they're humble and they're servants, but in reality, it's the most arrogant thing anybody could ever believe. God picked you, of all people on the planet, to lead because you're that fucking special. So why isn't God picking the leader of Bolivia? Is he doing that? Does he care about Bolivia? Does God give a fuck about fucking Burundi? Does he care about Burundi? Did he pick the VP there? No, he stayed out of the VP, but he picked the Secretary of the Treasury, let me tell you. What are you saying? You make no sense. This doesn't make any sense. You're, like, so far up your own ass with your fundamentalism. He said, him and Ted prayed, Glenn Beck did, he was, quote, raised for these times, just like George Washington and Thomas Paine. Like, he's divinely inspired. And then, again, at the end, he puts the twist in there. Logic. This is all about logic. But it's not. Everything you said was the opposite of logic. It was about feelings and emotions and prayer and, oh, he's raised for the time. He's the chosen one. He's the chosen one. In typical Glenn Beck fashion, you go back and you listen to everything he said there. How much policy substance was brought up? Did he mention the poverty rate in the country? Did he mention how many wars we're involved in, how much intervention we've done, how many trillions of dollars we've spent on foreign policy and on the military, and in war in Iraq, for example? Did he mention anything of substance? Let's make the minimum wage a living wage so people have a decent standard of living. Did he mention anything? Health care? Anything. Anything. It's got nothing to do with any of that. God chose me. Sit down. Shut the fuck up. I'm your leader. I'm the chosen one. I'm appointed by angels. And I was raised for these times. Okay, Glenn, you're starting to sound a lot like the Taliban. You may think that's a harsh analogy or a harsh comparison. Put a big old beard on Glenn, give him a little bit darker skin, change it to an Arabic accent, have him say Allah instead of God. That would be exactly like the Taliban. Okay. All right, next. Old Navy and their controversy recently. So Old Navy posted an ad that generated some controversy over the weekend. Let's take a look at it here. So why are people mad at it? Well, that is an interracial couple. Yeah, there was a backlash about that. So here are some of the tweets on it. Somebody said, Old Navy, stop promoting miscegenation or else I'm taking my money elsewhere. Another one said, Old Navy hates white babies. It takes a white mother and a white father to make a white baby. Stop hashtag white genocide. Wow, more. Old Navy, absolutely disgusting. What's next? Gender-neutral bathrooms? What's wrong with that? Pedophilia acceptance propaganda? Right, because interracial marriages are the same as pedophilia, you sick fuck. Never shopping here again. And somebody else said, my family and I will never step into an Old Navy store again. This miscegenation junk is rammed down our throats from every direction. Wow. Okay. So, for those of you who don't know, the term miscegenation is means interracial relationships or marriages or couples. Like, that's a thing. That word exists, and it exists in many people's minds as a pejorative. Miscegenation, look at this. In their mind, that's like equal to pedophilia, doing interracial marriages. It's sad how stupid some people are. Now, I actually learned something in doing this story here because, like, the hashtag white genocide thing. I have to admit, for the longest time, I didn't know what that was. I'm like, why are they saying white genocide? And honestly, what I originally thought was that these people are genuinely stupid enough to think that there's literally, like, a genocide of white people happening. That there's, you know, like, gas chambers and concentration camps, and there's, like, a holocaust of white people. Because they're so fucking paranoid, and they make up so much other shit that they think, like, no, literally, there's a genocide happening of white people. Like, that's what I thought all along, because this crowd is really stupid, so they're likely to just, you know, believe something like that, with no evidence. But nothing else they believe is based on evidence, so why would it be different for this? But it turns out, no. You know what that's really about? It's exactly this kind of stuff. Interracial marriages, you know, interracial couples. See, they think, oh, but if you have, you know, a white man and a black woman, or a white woman and a black man, well, then they're babies. They're not purebreds. So that's no longer a white person, so it's going to be white extinction because everybody's going to get interracial married, and that's bad. We got to stop that.
think about that. Because then when you call these people out and you say, hey, you're racist, they go, we're not racist. We just love white people. We're pro-white, not anti-black. That's the thing that they say all the time. Yeah, but wait a second. If you're saying it's bad to have an interracial marriage and interracial kids, well, why would it be bad if you're not anti-black? Because you're saying, oh, no, I'm pro-white. I'm not anti-black. So if you're pro-white, you're not anti-black, well, then why would an interracial marriage or interracial kids get you mad? You say, well, it's not going to be a white baby. It's going to be interracial. Right, but you just said you're not anti-black. So why would it matter? Why does that matter if you're not anti-black? See, you can't have it both ways, but they try to have it both ways. They say, I'm not racist. I'm pro-white. I'm not anti-black or anti-minority. I just care about our own people. And they try to portray it like we're not racist. Then they say, so what, genocide? And they mean, hey, interracial couples having interracial kids. It's going to be less and less white people. But again, if you say you're not anti-black, then why would you care? Because they are racist, obviously. They are anti-black. They are anti-minority. And look, man, maybe I'm naive, but I genuinely don't get it. Like, where did that come from? Did that come from, I mean, I would guess it's nurture. It's how you were raised and the context you were raised in. So if you're raised, keep it real, in a super racist family from the deep south, then you're implanted with that idea and it's fucking downloaded or installed in your brain that it's bad, okay? You can't mix, you can't interbreed with the mongrels and it's bad. So you just think it's wrong. But have you never stopped to think, like, well, why is that wrong? Like, have you ever questioned your dumbass parents or your family? Hey, just out of curiosity, why? Why is that bad? No, you don't do it because you're not bright. So you don't think about, trying to go in the other direction and unbrainwash, de-brainwash yourself, if I can make up some words here. You don't think about actually, caring about facts and data and information and realizing there's nothing fucking wrong with that. Who gives a shit? Why does it matter? Who cares? If everybody on the planet was interracial now, who cares? Why is that something that gets you angry? There's no logic to that. Unless you're just fucking raised and you become this hardcore, racist for no goddamn reason. You don't need facts. You don't need evidence. You just think the other is bad because the other's the other and it ain't me. You got to be moral like a good white person who hates miscegenation. That ain't moral. I got bad news for you. You're the bad guy in this scenario. All right. Let me do more here. The Independent is reporting on yet another sad story coming from North Korea. They say weddings and funerals have been banned. Pyongyang is in lockdown as preparations for a once-in-a-generation party congress gets underway in North Korea. Kim Jong-un is due to stage the first gathering of its kind since 1980. Free movement in and out of the capital has also been forbidden, and there has been an increase in inspections and property searches. Okay, so this is on a whole nother level of irony because they're flexing how democratic they are as they ban anything and everything. So they say funerals banned, weddings banned, parties banned, movement in and out of the city banned. But they go, oh, it's okay because we're doing that because we want to show you how democratic we are because we have a party congress, a once-in-a-generation party congress. By the way, what's going to happen at this event? Well, obviously, Kim Jong-un is going to say, I am the supreme leader. That's what I am. Fall in line. We're so democratic. So he's going to say that, and also he's expected to announce that they're officially a nuclear power. So we already kind of knew for a while that was the case, that they were working on it. It is disconcerting that you have a lunatic with nuclear weapons in North Korea. And probably most for the citizens of North Korea, because they're so oppressed and put down, and honestly, at this point, it's like you're unsure if they even know that that's the case. Because there have been people who have escaped North Korea that, have spoken about what it was like there, and honestly, one of the things that stuck with me is one of the people said, to me, freedom is just being able to eat what I want. Like, when he got to South Korea and he saw all the different options of food and stuff, he's like, to me, this is all I need. Like, this is incredible to me. So that leads me to believe the people inside North Korea, like, they don't even know that outside it's like, oh, well, there's this whole other world out there. And because they're raised from when they're young to believe that, hey, the dear leader is basically a demigod. So, you know, you should worship him, this is the god of the state, effectively, and the standard of living and the quality of life and the healthcare facilities and the economy and all that stuff, it's just in shambles over there. And, you know, you have this fucking elite ruling class taking everything, and they don't have much, but they take almost everything of what they have, and then you have the hard labor camps and all that stuff. So it is a horrific, brutal life where people are repressed to no end. And it's hard to know. We don't know what percentage of them are true believers because they've been in that context and in that system so long and they were raised that way, and what percentage are not, and they kind of know it's bullshit and that there's this other world out there. But either way, it's basically a hostage crisis. It's been described like that by others, and I think that's an accurate way to put it. You have this guy who's holding an entire country hostage. But it's also at the point where, let's say he was toppled. There's literally a strong case to be made that the people in the country wouldn't know, like, they wouldn't know what to do. They wouldn't know where to go. They wouldn't know what kind of government to set up. They wouldn't know how to move forward because they're so used to living under this oppressive regime that it's sort of like a Stockholm syndrome response where, like, okay, what do we do now? It's not like you could just topple them and, hey, you got a Jeffersonian democracy now. How's that going to fucking work? Like, what do you do? There's got to be some sort of transition. So it's a messy situation, man, but look at where we're at right now. We have a country that says, we're going to ban weddings and funerals and travel because we're having some sort of weird semi-democratic / not democratic at all gathering. This is why you need to not have a system based on the whims of one dictator, just one person who has total and utter control of everything. Because once you have that system, what happens when the person's fucking crazy? Like, what happens if you put a fucking goofball in power and a narcissist and a maniac? Well, this person's going to hold on to power by any means necessary, and they're going to suppress the population ad nauseum, and they're going to do all these crazy things, and they can do it because they run everything, so they can do anything on a whim. So this is what happens, and this is why you need to not have power vested in one person, because the end results are always bad. Human nature is such where you can't give any individual person sole power, because if you do, there may be varying degrees of how bad that individual is in power, but it's always going to be bad because there are ulterior motives and problems where you can't let one person rule everything. You need checks and balances of some kind. Okay. Squeeze in one or two more here, and then we'll call it a day. An Illinois woman named Stacy Pincus is suing Starbucks for putting too much ice in her iced coffee. This is interesting. So she wants $5 million for this. Seems fair. She claims that their venti 24-ounce iced coffee only has about 14 ounces of coffee. Huffington Post explains, among the accusations hurled at the coffee conglomerate are fraud, negligent misrepresentation, and unjust enrichment. Yeah. Okay, can I be honest with you guys here? Reading this story made me want to become a conservative. Because one of the things you hear all the time is, litigious society, we got unjust lawsuits everywhere, and this is bullshit. We got to put a cap on the amount in damages that people get paid. Now, look, that goes too far because, honestly, there are plenty of real examples of corporations or whoever fucking people over in a malicious and nefarious way. So you need to have some way to remedy that when that's the case. So you can't put a hard cap on damages that could be paid or something like that. But there is something you could do that I think a lot of places in Europe have this system set up where if you bring a lawsuit like this and you lose, well, not only do you have to pay your own legal fees, which will probably be hefty, you also have to pay the legal fees of the other person. So you bring Starbucks to court, and, you know, Starbucks is like, this is the most ridiculous thing ever. You're just saying we put a little too little coffee in our thing, just ask for less ice and ask to put more coffee in. Problem solved. But they got to go to court. They got to spend money on their legal fees. They got to defend against this absolute horseshit lawsuit. And then at the end of it, you know, if they win, like, what's going to happen? Oh, okay, so now you win, now we go away. But wait a second, I still paid all these legal fees. Why? That's bullshit. I had to waste all this money because some idiot's an idiot. So, okay, you can remedy that. Now, this person, when they lose, and my God, if they don't lose, I'm gonna blow a fucking gasket here on air. But you make her pay her legal fees and yours. That's it. So the only thing that was taken away from Starbucks in this case is the time of the legal team, which is still kind of bullshit because they had their time robbed from them. But it's better than, you know, having them have to pay their money. So, look, I'm not even going to get into whether or not this is legitimate. If you think this is legitimate, I honestly think you're a ridiculous human being. Like, the whole point, don't get it twisted, the whole point of this lawsuit is somebody genuinely is a lazy person, a parasite, a moocher, and they're looking to get rich quick, and that's why they're doing this. And understand that admitting that those people exist does not take away from progressive ideology and liberal ideology. It actually, I think, strengthens it, because this is so much more rare than the people on the right give it credit for, okay? It's overwhelmingly the case that people, for example, who are taking unemployment insurance, people who are using the social safety net, studies have proven that they actually are, you know, trying to make their way, and they eventually get a job, and they eventually get their shit together, and they are hard workers. It's much more rare that there's fraud in that system and that you have lazy people taking advantage of it. But it does exist, is the point. But it exists in a much smaller number than the people on the right think it exists. So to admit when we have a real case of that, like we do right here, doesn't hurt our case, it helps our case. And we should, like everybody else, want to weed out these kinds of problems in the system, because honestly, this makes it so it's a boy who cried wolf situation. When you have a real lawsuit with some real damage and a real nefarious corporation, that person should win. And we should take that seriously. But if everybody looks at cases like this and thinks it's the general rule of thumb here that this is how people act, then they're going to shrug at every single lawsuit and say any lawsuit against any corporation ever is bullshit. And that indeed is not the case. It's just this one certainly happens to be bullshit. And we should have a rule that says if you lose a case like this, as I think she will, you have to pay the legal fees of Starbucks. Okay. Let me do one more here, and then we're donezo. We have yet another story about fundamentalism coming out of Bangladesh. The past 2 days, there were vicious – actually, this is an old story, so it's not past 2 days. It's like a week ago or 2 weeks ago. Let me start that again for YouTube. We have another story about fundamentalism coming out of Bangladesh. Of course, last week or 2 weeks ago, there were vicious terror attacks against atheists and liberals. And now we have this, quote, in southern Bangladesh, sentenced two Hindu school teachers to 6 months in jail for making abusive remarks about Islam that led a mob to attack their school, a magistrate said Tuesday. The head teacher and another staff member were found guilty of hurting the religious sentiments of Muslim students and their parents. The comments sparked protests by students, most of whom are Muslim, and angry villagers descended on the school seeking to beat up the teachers before being stopped by police. They have made abusive comments, here's a quote, they have made abusive comments about Islam and the Prophet Muhammad during a class session, said Magistrate Anwar Parvez, who handed down the verdict Monday after the teachers pleaded guilty. Okay, stop and think about this, because this is the entire problem of fundamentalism rolled into one story here. They were found guilty of, I repeat, hurting the religious sentiments of Muslim students and their parents. Yeah, here's what's not a real crime. That. In fact, you know what the crime is? The mob coming to beat them up after the fact. See, hurting religious sentiments is something I like to call logic. Hurting religious sentiments is something I like to call free speech. If you don't like it, you can fuck right off. See, I'm not legally forced to agree with you when you spew mythological bullshit. So you come talking to me about Muhammad riding a winged donkey to heaven, I'm going to tell you to go fuck a goat, because that's nonsense. I don't believe that. I think that's stupid, and I think it's stupid that you believe it. So if me saying that gets me locked up and gets me a jail sentence when you come to beat me up, well, that's just further evidence that I'm right. You want to know why? Your punk ass, your bitch ass can't handle the truth, so you have to resort to violence. See, if you were really correct, you know what you could tell me? No. I know I'm right. Here's how I'm right. Let me prove it to you. And then whatever. Here's an article that mentions it with scientific data that backs it up. No, but that doesn't exist. You're so immensely wrong, and you're so ridiculous as a human being that you get offended when I point out how silly your beliefs are, and you attack me, and then I get jail time. No, this is as unjust as it gets. And honestly, this reminds me of fundamentalists all across the world. We see this, for example, Iran, Saudi Arabia. These are places, they're Islamist regimes. Now, obviously, it's varying degrees, and in some ways, some are worse than others, so on and so forth. But you have right-wing Islamists in those countries that when you have somebody, for example, who's a Muslim but a liberal Muslim, and they have a different interpretation of Islam, in Saudi Arabia, they say that's actually illegal. It's illegal to have a liberal interpretation of the holy book. They say in Iran, right-wing Islamists get offended when you say, hey, maybe we shouldn't jail gays. We're not even talking about gay marriage here. We're talking about maybe you just shouldn't jail them. I'm so offended. You've offended the prophet and you've offended me and my religion. No. Look at the trick they're doing. As they victimize you, they claim that they're the victim. That's what's happening here. As they put down everybody around them, they claim that they are offended and they are under attack and they are the victims. It's the oldest trick in the book, man. You know, we've seen it here with fundamentalist Christians. Go look at any Pat Robertson episode, and he'll lay it out for you. Oh, Christian ideology is under attack. There's a war on Christianity in the country. And what's his reasoning? Because we treat gays equally now. War on Christianity. No. You are waging the war on gays. That's what's happening. When they defend themselves, you're not under attack. It's not offensive against you. It's not putting you down. It's not suppression of your rights. Look at this. This is exactly what this is. Teachers express their rights, express their beliefs. Hey, I don't believe in religion. Hey, I think that this is not true. I think it's silly. You've offended the sensibilities of my religion, so I will lock you up. And a mob comes to beat them up. The mob doesn't get the time. Let me repeat. The mob doesn't get time in jail. The mob does not. The mob is free to go because you had it coming. Because you said, hey, your prophet's bullshit, and I don't believe it. The moral system is just twisted. The legal system is twisted. No. People are allowed to say whatever the fuck they want to say, and if you don't like it, you can get over it. And guess what? You have a right to insult atheism.
10 seconds.
I don't agree with you. I think you're wrong. But you can insult me, and guess what? I'm not going to come with a mob to beat you up. Why? I'm confident in my beliefs. I'm not insecure in them, so I know I'm right, and I know I'm going to win in the realm of ideas. So I don't need to beat you up because, see, I can beat you in a debate and a discussion, something you can't do. All right, I'm out of time, guys. Mwah! We'll see you tomorrow. Peace.